As the Labour Party launches its power and partnership paper, what do we know about its plans for local economic development policy and devolution?
How could a Labour government balance a reanimated and muscular industrial policy with more decentralised decision-making and local right of initiative? I'm David Marlowe.
And I'm Mike Spicer. You're listening to LED Confidential, the podcast that lifts the lid on those intractable and enduring challenges facing those of us working in and on local economic development and placemaking today.
And a warm welcome to the second LEDC Espresso Shot of April. Mike, it feels like March may have been a turning point in getting to know what Labour plans for the local and combined authority sector, and indeed for the devolved nations, should it form a government later this year, might be. We had the Power and Partnership paper, which set out, probably more clearly than ever before, Labour's thinking on devolution and local economic development. And we also had the MAIS lecture from the Shadow Chancellor, which set out her philosophy. What did you make of it all?
I think that's right. I think it was a bit of a turning point. I feel that we now have more of an idea of what Labour would do around this agenda were it to form the next government, potentially later this year. I guess I took away kind of a few kind of big things from the Power and Partnership paper, which if you haven't read it, dear listener, do go and do that, because I do think it sets out actually pretty clearly what the direction of travel is likely to be. And here are some of the key things I took away. So there's a bunch of stuff around devolution and growth funding. And while it doesn't necessarily say in precise detail what implementation will look like, to me, it looks like the Labour Party approach would be really to force the combined authority model on all city regions and counties that don't currently operate that model. They would concentrate strategic planning powers at the combined authority level, potentially with a new form of structure plan or spatial plan type setup. It looks like they would streamline the UK's government's Devo framework into a kind of single standard model that would replace the levels 1, 2, 3, and 4 that we've talked about on previous shows and is the current framework for that in the UK. The paper talks about a new right to request powers held centrally with a kind of formal process, a formal requirement on Whitehall to explain what that local government body would need to do in order to take on those new powers. So it would have to explain itself in some kind of formal process. Reform of the audit system for local government takes up a bit of space in that paper, and also a new statutory duty on combined authorities to produce local growth plans. Less stuff on the funding, David, I thought. It was a bit less clear there, but there's clearly a desire to give a bigger role for fixed allocations within the system to fund the core work of LED, and more stable long-term funding settlements for local government. I think so. Those are the kind of the juicy points, I think, that I took away. But for me, it's still unclear where these reforms would leave other fundamental questions of local government organisation. For example, we haven't heard anything concrete yet from Labour about its thoughts on unitarisation, and you know whether it has any other desires around local government organisation. All of those things that I've just mentioned are big, chunky, long-term structural reforms, most of which wouldn't have a political dividend for many years. So what would they do in the short term to kind of generate some kind of positive momentum across those agendas? It's not entirely clear. We can get on to industrial strategy in a moment, but does that chime with your reading of it, David? I'm thinking particularly some of the local government organisation stuff.
No, I think that's a great summary, actually. Much better than... Much more succinct than what I took away from it. I felt the diagnosis was very accurate and actually does resonate with what is the general accepted diagnosis of, in a sense, you know, what is wrong with the UK, over-centralised, you know, actually a passive, almost whimsical, erratic government policy, and this lack of genuine multi-tier partnership are common themes that everyone now, I think, broadly accept. I think you actually summarised the main ways forward really coherently, and I think those also are sensible. I suppose the thing that came out of it for me was just how disruptive and radical do we need to be to make that system come towards fruition in the next parliament. You know, so, for example, that question that you sort of suggested, you know, does government need to almost, you know, impose unitaries and directly elected metro mayors or county mayors, you know, on sub-regions? Actually, does it need to just bite the bullet by the horn in resource terms and capitalise regional development banks, you know, as an example? Does it need to just state that, yes, there are going to be single settlements for endorsed or validated combined authorities, and let us get on with it? And then how much reform of national government is required to make this happen? And one of the things that I was actually thinking about, one of my responses, it's not in the paper, but I'd be fascinated in whether you got any of this out of it, was, is there almost a suggestion in terms of reform of national government and a Starmer government that Angela Rayner might almost have the sort of John Prescott role of this super ministry? Do you remember that?
Yes,
sort of,
you know, the Department of the Regions ministry. And Transport and something else. The, Local Government, yeah. Transport and the Regions. Yeah. I was there, wasn't it? DT.
And I suppose the point is that, now, this wasn't in the paper, but it was one of the things that sort of I thought about as I was reading it. And do you think that we actually would make things move faster and more effectively if there was a role nationally akin to that Prescott role in the next
government? I think the complicating factor in that is what their plans are around a national industrial strategy, and just what the relationship looks like between a national program for economic renewal and one based more around local right of initiative. There's definitely a tension there, and it's about how do they manage that tension. So in the lecture by Rachel Reeves and some things that she said subsequently, but also in the Power and Partnership paper, there's multiple references to a kind of more muscular national industrial strategy and reanimating some of the institutional underpinnings that have sort of withered over the years, like the Industrial Strategy Council, as was Andy Haldane led. So if you have a kind of activist central government that, you know, is saying, right, you know, there is a smallish number of sectors that the UK needs to do much better in, you know, these sectors cluster in places, and we're going to provide funding or, you know, ministerial kind of overruling of planning decisions in order to make it happen, how does that balance against a statutory local plan, you know, the statutory local growth plan from a combined authority? Which comes first? How do they operate together? Is there going to be some kind of duty to cooperate that operates between local government and national government? There's lots of unanswered questions, I think, about how that tension would be resolved on a day-to-day basis. And if the industrial strategy is all, does that reduce local government to a form of field administration? Or are there going to be checks and balances that mean that the two can coexist? I don't know. But for me, that was the central thing that was unclear, that kind of relationship between the central and local.
Yeah, no. Well, we've got a couple of really interesting points. And I suppose my takeaway from this, and as we do begin to draw it to a close, is that I do think, you know, both the Power and Partnership paper and indeed the MIS Rachel Reeves lecture do give a sense of what Labour would like to try and do in terms of driving these agendas forward. And I think we've got to take the time between now and the national election and the establishment of a new government to actually formulate our asks. And I think reform of national governments itself, we need some bottom-up ideas for how to do that. Would a Prescott-esque type of central coordinating ministry make some sense at deputy PM level. Secondly, I think your point about multi-tier working and how you reconcile place-based growth and development with national industrial strategies is really critical. And we do need to address how multi-tier working, what are the different options for reconciling and balancing those different priorities? And then, of course, as you rightly said, you're getting the finance in place, getting it long term, and you know, are going to be hugely important. So there's plenty of stuff to chew on now, which is probably better than we were prior to those two, to the publication and the speech. And let's see where we can get to in the period between now and the next government. Do you want to close us off with any final comments?
Just with the comment that on the super ministry point, I guess the interesting prospect is that there may be more than one super ministry. There may be one that's based around the old model of the kind of the old Department of Local Government Trade and the Transport and the Regions, the kind of old John Prescott. But also, we can't rule out that there might be a kind of beefed up business department with elements of the Treasury in it, that there could be these kind of mission-based boards that operate across Whitehall that could be all-powerful. There's been much spoken about that. So, yes, a kind of activist centre, but it's not clear what form that would take. So that's perhaps the best place to sign off for this episode. As ever, you can access all things LED Confidential over at our website, ledconfidential.co.uk. Till the next time.